We welcome you inside Everbank Field from the lobby of the West Touchdown Club. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere, and always a fun annual visit with all the draft picks.
It is, and fortunately for us and the viewers, I'm in this chair for about 4 minutes today. Then I go to chair C, okay. And the stars can step into the middle. So it's going to be fun to get a chance to talk to, we hope, I guess, all nine rookies that are in the draft class. So always a neat day. I think it'll be a little better than last year.
You know, the locker room was open for the first time yesterday. We spent a little bit of time in there. I had to get upstairs for the state of the franchise. You were there a little bit longer, mm-hmm. and had a chance to visit with a couple of extra veterans. There were some rookies in there, but
sure. Guys
like Bortles and Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson weren't in there yesterday. It'll be the first chance to really catch up with those guys.
Yeah, so Bortles kind of go through at one point, but wanted to wait to talk to him today. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to ask Blake just sort of how he's sort of absorbing all this, if you will.
Right.
There's a lot happening for these guys in a very short period. Blake even more in New York. And now all of a sudden, all the star stuff from this weekend, all the glamour, all the stuff you read about and that he's watched on draft, you know, a night for so many years is sort of fading away. And now it's time to get here, go to work, figure out where you are and where to get started.
And, of course, we'll hear from the wide receivers, too, Lee, Robinson. You know, it seems like, obviously, in the past year, they've had a couple of receiver duos, of course, you know, like Smith and McCardell under Lightning. Mm-hmm. These two guys come in drafted together. They traded up to get Robinson, and it seems like they might be tied at the hip for a while.
Well, and it's interesting that they got both these guys in the second round, but they loved these guys both around pick 39, and they really thought – them and a lot of other analysts, that these guys might be low first-round picks. So that happens a lot. You hear that a lot. Doesn't always mean they're going to play like first-round picks, but there's the potential for these guys to be a good combination. They match each other well. They play off each other's strengths. Robinson's a big guy, sort of like the Jaguars haven't had in a long time, a guy who should be able to go up, win some jump balls, use his size. And they really haven't had a guy like that who's been very effective at that for a long, long time.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live rookie premiere coming up. A visit with most, if not all, the nine draft picks for the Jaguars in the 2014 draft class. We'll hear a lot today about offensive line, too. Brandon Linder, the guard out of Miami. Jags traded up to get him. Mm-hmm. And if you trade up to get a guard, and then one of the incumbent guards gets cut, you pretty much think this guy's going to get the job, right?
Well, it would stand to reason, and you never say never. You never say there can't be competition where somebody else comes in and wins. But Linder was sort of the forgotten story over the weekend somehow, because we all wrote about the wide receivers because it happened a little earlier on Friday night, frankly, than Linder did, so it's easier to write that. And they're high-profile guys. But you've got a situation where they need to – I see Marquise Lee is still traveling. That's our note. So he won't be here today. But with Linder, they need that spot to come to fruition. They need somebody to fill that right guard spot. And you would think, as you said, trading up, that would be the spot where you would have a rookie starter.
And, of course, on the other part of the offensive line was the sixth-round center out of Virginia, Luke Bianco. And we've said this before. They talk a lot about Mike Brewster. There are some other players that will be in that competition, too, a guy mm-hmm. like Lewis. McClendon should probably be in that mix, too, at center. But as of right now, just the way you hear it from the brass, Mike Brewster might be kind of the guy there, but Bianco's a guy to watch, too.
Well, at some point, you know, sometimes when you look at the draft and you look at depth charts, all you start looking at are the starters. Well, at some point, a good NFL team needs some depth. So you would hope that out of Brewster and Bianco and Jocks McClendon, that for the first time in a while, maybe you've got a situation where if all five guys don't make it through the through all 16 games, which, newsflash, sometimes happens.
Really?
You know, that you would have a guy who can come in and you feel confident in. So I think in years past, they've had a situation where if all five guys stayed healthy up front, they were probably okay. And then if somebody got hurt, boy, it was going to be a lookout situation. What you hope is that a guy like Bianco over time becomes a guy where you don't worry quite as much about an injury on the interior.
Jaguars.com Live rookie premiere. We're moments away from visiting with most of the Jaguars draft picks in 2014. You just heard that, yes, Marquise Lee's not here. He's still traveling into Jacksonville for the first time. He's not been in the building yet. and it does not appear he'll arrive in time for this show. I mean, come on. You missed this show. How do you start off your rookie career like that?
At some point, some guys just don't know, I guess, the culture of the building. And they don't know what's important. So he's got time.
Well, we'll see if he has time or not.
That's exactly right.
Put in a word, I guess.
It's a message from Shattuck.
We'll visit with Blake Bortles, of course, as we mentioned earlier, the number three overall pick and most of the rest. You know, the middle rounds here, four, five, and six, the fourth and fifth rounds for this draft, mm-hmm. going in vitally important for this
right.
team. That was one of the things that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley said. That's where you can get a lot of depth and do a lot of things for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly they did it on defense. Aaron Colvin, the corner out of Oklahoma, banged
right.
up knee, might be ready second half of the year, but you look at Telvin Smith and Chris Smith, you got one on each level of the defense there.
Right. I thought it was interesting on Jaguars Today yesterday, we had Gus Bradley on, mm-hmm. and he talked a little more extensively about Aaron Colvin and sort of the thought that went into that. And it was obvious when they drafted him that you're looking at a guy who perhaps in his second year coming and be a starter. And Gus sort of laid it out that, yeah, that went into their thinking, that when you have four or five draft picks as your goal to start, they eventually want to have four or five guys out of this class to start. He said sometimes when you're drafting, it's harder than you might think in that fifth and sixth round to find a guy that you realistically project mm-hmm. to eventually be a solid starter. So you have to be creative a little bit. But he said when you looked at Colvin, it was easy to project and see a guy who could start if everything played out right. So he was really a key for them to where they went home after the draft, could get to a situation where, yes, we feel like out of this class, we have a good chance of getting four or five guys who could eventually start. You got Bortles, you got Lee, you got Robinson, you have Linder. And now all of a sudden you have Colvin, who maybe not this year, but next year could start. If those five guys work out, boy, what a draft.
J.P. Shattuck with John Osher, Jaguars.com Live Rookie Premiere coming up, visits with most of the draft picks for 2014. You know, it's kind of a slippery slope to start really dissecting seventh-round picks.
Sure.
Those guys a lot of times don't work out. But Storm Johnson's a guy that could come in and do some things in the backfield for this team.
Well, he has a role that you can visualize, and they were very upfront about it, and so was Storm. He's got to get better at pass blocking. But it's the old thing. If you're not taken in the first three or four rounds, there's probably some reason you weren't taken
sure.
in the first three or four rounds. So what you're looking for as a GM at those spots is, do I see something in this guy who, if we develop it, can make him special? With Chris Lee, for example. I mean, I'm sorry, Chris Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You look at him and you think, okay, if we develop it, we can get pass rush out of this.
That's
you look
right.
at Telvin Smith and you see his speed and say, if we develop it, if we're seeing this right, this speed could make him an NFL player. What you don't want is to have a guy who all of a sudden really no strength, and even if you develop it, he doesn't have the skill to play in this league.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what you're looking for. There's going to be a flaw. They'd be in the first and second round. Storm Johnson is a guy who it appears can certainly come in and make an impact carrying the ball and be an every down back in a pinch and be a third down guy.
We'll hear a lot about the backgrounds of these players today. We'll get into their heads a little bit about how they got here and their feelings the first couple of days in the building. But as you've talked about before, there's a first day of the rest of your life
sure.
type of moment for them. And I'll be curious today to see when that actually hit them.
Well, and it's always neat because you see them, you know, sort of talking about it on Twitter. And they've, through all their life, you assume most of them have watched the draft.
Yeah.
So they get what that's about, and they know how to behave. And you sort of focus on those two or three days that are a blast. You see all the footage, all those years of guys sort of on the phone and, you know, doing the ESPN interview, the live shot. So you can visualize that. But they probably haven't visualized driving up to this place or driving up to whatever stadium and that moment where you go, oh, this is real. And then you're walking into the locker room and you see guys where – all 53 guys are as big as the best player in your college team.
Right.
And there is a little bit of a I never played, obviously. Yeah, look at this. But you have to think there's a moment for all of them of, A, what am I doing here? Because there's always that when you're that age. But then B, okay, I get this now. I get that it's here. I get that it's time. So it's sort of a neat to see them in that transition before they become – seasoned NFL players who don't like us anymore.
Well, I'm sure that
doesn't take long.
No, not at all. Yeah. In fact, for Blake Bortles, it probably took about 5 minutes. He jumped in our car and then came here. I mean, that was his moment. Yeah. I don't know.
We probably have to rethink that strategy.
Sorry,
at some
Blake.
Point.
My fault on that. JP Shadrick with John Osier. Jaguars.com Live rookie premiere. Any moment we should have some of the draft picks come around. No Marquise Lee today. He's still not in the building yet. Still traveling to Jacksonville. Of course, rookie camp Friday and Saturday. You have to register online. Jaguars.com/register to get entrance into those camps on Friday and Saturday. 1:10 p.m. starts both Friday and Saturday. Because they're in the building all week this year for the first time, they're taking away that Sunday day, give them a Sunday off. So Friday and Saturday.
And it's kind of a unique situation. As you said, they're in the building all week this year, so everything's sort of moved up a little bit. That's because, obviously, that the draft was moved back. So they've given them a chance to really get their hands on these guys very quickly. And I was asked a lot before the draft, how much impact do you think that'll have, moving the draft back? Coaches obviously don't like that because they want their hands on guys as soon as they can get them. They want to start coaching.
That's right.
They want to get playbooks in these guys' hands. Realistically, I'm not of the belief that it's going to make a huge difference long term. Once you get into the regular season, generally speaking, most rookies don't make a huge impact anyway. I don't know that it's going to have a huge effect on how the league plays out next year. But for some of these guys, it might mean a little bit of a delay, being fully up to speed, having things feel natural. But as Gus said, I think at the owners' meetings, we were talking to him, they're going to compress a lot of information to these guys very, very quickly. They get the same amount of days that they got. So they'll get the information there. It'll just be a matter of making it happen a lot quicker than in the past.
Is it different for an organization like the Jaguars that do rely on rookies a little bit more than other established winning franchises that have been winning for a long time? Is it different for a team like this?
It probably puts a little bit more of an onus on it and may make it a little more noticeable. Mm-hmm. But my guess is most teams are going to go about it the same way. You've got an X number of days for OTAs. You've had your time with these guys shortened by a few days.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to go through much the same, you know, schedule, outline, plan for getting the information into the heads. And, you know, again, you would hope that you get a few of these guys who can absorb it quickly enough to be ready to go in the fall.
JP Shadrick, John Osier, Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. We'll take your Twitter questions a little bit later at JP Shadrick. I almost forgot my own handle. At JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jaguars. There's been a lot going on this week. Mm-hmm. Live draft coverage, state of the franchise yesterday,
right.
Rookie premiere today, rookie camp this weekend. And there's always a buzz this time of year in the building, and certainly so in the past week.
Well, the state of the franchise was interesting yesterday. I mean, it should be noted that this is one of the few organizations that does that. And if you watch the state of the franchise, and if you sort of absorb the information that's given out there, you really do, I think, have more of a genuine feel for how this organization approaches things on and off the field, what it needs to do in the community, why local revenue is so important, why ticket sales are so important, and some of the creative ways that this team is trying to tackle some of the issues. You know, credit to Mark Lamping and Shad Khan for making that transparent, and I think doing so in a real way. It's easy when they came in a couple years ago to say you're going to do it, but then to sort of have these things that if the fans paying attention, they know what's going on with this franchise on a very detailed level. Not sure that that happens anywhere else, but sure that doesn't happen very often.
And certainly with numbers like were shown yesterday, a lot of those weren't totally positive numbers all the time. And that's just the reality of it. And that's part of being so transparent.
Well, it's showing the reality of it. And there were some in the ozone this morning who said, well, whoa, they have to do this, they have to do this. And that's right. You know, as Mark Lamping said, this is not your normal market. So there are things that this team has to do in terms of some creative premium seating, in terms of expanding the market, in terms of London. They have to do that to make this work. You can look at that as, oh, my goodness, they have to do something to make it work. Or you can look at, hey, they're doing something to make it work. And I think people in the business community who are talking to Mark Lamping, who understand what London is all about, mm-hmm. I think they're seeing this as, hey, they're doing something to make this work, and we're going to make this work moving in lockstep going forward. So, you know, again, a sort of a remarkable day that's easy to look past if you take it out of the context that very few teams do what the Jaguars did yesterday.
And part of the big circle of life in the league that they showed yesterday was getting strong, aggressive free agency when you have to, mm-hmm. which they did this year, of course, and having good, strong drafts and bringing in solid players to kind of build and keep building the foundation. And that goes in full circle here, too.
And eventually, I think if you talk to David Caldwell, which we have, you want to have the years where you're really active in free agency mm-hmm. be as few as possible. They're still taking the approach right now. These free agent guys, as high profile as they were, are still guys that they are looking at. And when they start plugging these guys in, they're thinking 2 outside 3 years unless something happens to knock them off that path. Mm-hmm. So you're still getting these guys in here. I don't want to use the word rent a player because it's not like that. But you are not signing most of these free agents thinking, these are our core guys. These guys are going to be on the cover of the media guide in 2023. Mm-hmm. So what you want is to put some gaps where you can get competitive and then start drafting, start developing guys to come along behind those guys and eventually have a roster that's as quote-unquote pure as possible, which means you've drafted, you've developed. They know your culture from the time they walk in the door, which, of course, today and yesterday and Sunday are the days they're walking in through the door.
Sure. Jaguars.com Live, rookie premiere. We're about to be joined by Brandon Linder, the guard out of Miami, third-round pick, 29th pick in that round, 93rd overall. And, John, move over. We're going to get Brandon in here in just a moment.
You telling me to move over? You asked me to move over.
Get the heck
JP.
Over. How about you go? Right. How about just go on? Brandon Linder about to join us. Linder joining us now on Jaguars.com Live. Come on in the middle. And good to have you. How are you?
Good to see you.
Welcome. Brandon, have a seat. This is John Osier. This is kind of our first meeting, I guess, with everybody. But welcome. Yeah. And are you happy here yet? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally happy here. It's a great opportunity. Again, staying home is something that is nice to hear. And, I'm just excited.
You're a Miami guy. You grew up kind of in the Fort Lauderdale, Weston, Davie area, I guess, Southwest Ranches, right? I mean, were you a Dolphins fan as a kid, or were you an NFL fan?
Not really too much an NFL fan. I think more of just a Hurricanes fan, and that's where I went to college. But, my dad would take me down to the Orange Bowl games and everything, so that was pretty exciting.
Jed Fish, you're back with the old offensive coordinator, and what do you remember about Jed at the U, and is it pretty cool to be back with him?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, Coach Fish is a guy that, brings a lot of enthusiasm to the room and to the offense, and that's something that I was happy to hear now that I'm going to be able to play with him again.
You called him in a newspaper report, my guy. Talk about him a little bit, and when he was at Miami, the relationship you guys had or that he had with the offense in general.
I mean, he was just a guy that at Miami, you could come to be able to learn the system, and he really brought it out of his players, and I think that's something that's awesome as an offensive mm-hmm. coordinator that he can do that. These guys, you come to him for advice and just on the plays and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, everybody has their draft day story. We watched the first round and everybody knows those stories. Some of the guys who get drafted later maybe aren't sure of where their mindset is as they get drafted. Some people had you as a third day pick, and yet the Jaguars trade up to get you in the third round and then it appears have a chance to start. How were you feeling on Friday night as that sort of played out? And then when you found out they had traded up to get you, it's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was just sitting at home. It was just me, my dad, mom, brother, and girlfriend, actually. And we were kind of just watching the TV. I got that phone call. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just an incredible thing for me. I mean, I played PB football, so it's a dream come true for me, to get this opportunity. And so, of course, we were just couldn't be more excited.
Were you thinking – as the third round went on, were you thinking, hey, maybe day three, or were you just sort of letting it come to you?
I mean, I really had no expectations. It was just if I get the opportunity, it was great. I think it was just there was no expectations, more or less just excited to have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Linder is with us. I saw you on Twitter the other day. What's your Twitter handle?
BrandonLinder65.
BrandonLinder65, and we saw a bunch of fishing photos on there. You're a big fisherman. You're a big outdoorsman, in fact, right? And where did that start? And you love doing that in your off time. Right?
Yeah, growing up, that was a big staple in the Linder household. My dad, had us on a boat when we were crawling around. He'd be throwing a shrimp. We'd be playing with him on the deck. But I mean, on my off time, that's kind of like what I like to do. You know, those are my hobbies, fishing and hunting, just kind of being outdoors. And, you know, I actually have land in Chiefland, Florida that we go and hunt on. So that's only an hour and a half away. So, I mean, that's part of my life, I think, is the outdoors.
You're going to fit in well in this building and in this town, if that's the case, for sure.
So happy to stay. I mean, have you ever hunted or fished in Jacksonville or heard anything about it? Because it's good up here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tremendous. Again, it's Florida, you know, great hunting and fishing. But I haven't done any hunting and fishing in Jacksonville, so I'm excited, though.
Yet.
Yeah, exactly. Soon, though.
Final question for you, Brandon. You're confident you can go win this job?
I mean, that's not up to me. It's just coming in here and getting better every day, and that's what Coach Gus, you know, striving to for us to do.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brandon Linder joining us. Welcome to town. There he is.
Brandon, thank you. Looking forward to it.
This is the Jaguars.com live rookie premiere. Let's keep him rolling on in. Let's stay on the offensive line. And I know I'm going to get the name wrong. I've done it wrong all weekend. Luke Bowanko out of Virginia. Did I get it right?
Bowanko, but, you know.
So, no.
Tomato, tomato.
Welcome. Good to have you. First question. Have you heard of Jeff Lagerman?
No, I haven't heard
of him. That's beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic being a Virginia guy.
I'm in trouble for that.
You might be. You might have seen his long-haired mullet on a photo at University of Virginia. But let him tell you that story, that's for sure. Obviously, Virginia guy, you said on your phone conference the other night after the draft that you were really tight with Austin Pastor in your time there, and he was kind of a mentor for you. Take us back to Virginia and working with Austin.
Yeah, Austin was kind of, you know, he had been there a couple of years by the time I got to school, and by the time I worked my way into the starting rotation, he was kind of established as the senior guy on the line, and he played the same position on the other side and kind of just took me under his wing and kind of taught me, you know, how to take care of business and, you know your assignments, but do it in a, you know, kind of professional way. So, yeah, he's a really important role model for me.
Was he known as Frenchie there?
No, he had a lot of other. New thing? He had a lot of other nicknames. Frenchie wasn't one of them.
Okay, 1 through 5. Let's have the nickname.
No.
No. You talked the other night about the excitement at your house around draft night. Couldn't calm the dog down. Tell that story a little bit, and just what that night was like when you got drafted.
I mean, it was exhilarating. It's just kind of one of those lifetime dreams that you have and goals, and to feel it, you know, come to fruition was a lot of fun. And you know, the dog just didn't really know what was going on, so he was just going crazy. But I think everyone was just really excited, and yeah, I think he could feel that going on a little
bit.
Did
you put Bandit on the back porch, or was it out front, or which one was it?
Yeah, no, he went in the backyard, which is kind of like his, like, you know, it's like domain. So it wasn't, you know, he was happy either way. But yeah, everyone's really happy.
Luke, give us an idea of this competition going into this offseason. Mike Brewster's been around coming off a leg injury, but other guys like McClendon and Lewis will be in there too, fighting for that center spot. Your first thought of this competition when you first saw it on paper, what do you think?
You know, I haven't really paid much attention to it. Coming in, obviously, I'm the young guy, and, you know, I just need to do what I need to do to get better every day. And competition is great at every level and every aspect of life. It makes you better and makes you compete. To try to better the other guy, but really you're just competing with yourself and just trying to, you know, get better every day. And hopefully, you know, by, you know, the time that results need to start showing, then I'm, you know, competing on a level with the other guys.
Always been a center, or has that come natural to you? Or tell us that story about moving that
position. I mean, when I got to college, our O-line coach kind of had everyone just snap to see who could do it, and I just happened to be that guy, and didn't really do it much for the first 2 or 3 years I was there, but in the fourth year, you know, it was kind of one of those things that he was like, we need a guy, and you can do it, so let's try it out, and it was a natural progression for me, and it was comfortable.
Was there any thought that might be, you know, because most teams want to have 2, maybe 3 guys who can snap, because you got to be able to get the playoff. Any thought on your part at the time of, hey, this might be something, you know, that helps me at the next level?
Yeah, you always try to be versatile and be able to do different things. So, obviously, you have that in the back of your mind. And when you're a young freshman just getting your feet wet, you just want to, you know, do your assignment without screwing up too bad. But, yeah, as I grew up and, you know, got to know how to play different positions, mm-hmm. It was obviously one of those things that you make yourself versatile and it opens a lot of doors for you.
Last couple of questions. You said on the phone call the other night you have a background in hockey too, right? When was the last time you put on a pair of skates?
Ice skates, it's been a while because it hurts when you fall, but and there's not a lot of ice up in Virginia. But, no, I just try to skate around a little bit. But, you know, I ended up living with a Canadian roommate, Brent Urban, for a while, and he kind of put me down a little bit because he was a heck of a lot better hockey player than me. Tried not to embarrass myself too much, but no, I'd get out and skate. It's fun. It's, you know, good. It's a good workout, and it brings back childhood memories.
Luke, we appreciate your time, and good luck to you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Luke Bowanko. Bowanko. Whatever. 6-1, half the – that's messed it up again.
Well, maybe not to him.
JP Shadrick, John Osher. This is Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere. Let's go to Tallahassee, Florida, and welcome in Telvin Smith from the national champion Seminoles. Telvin, how are you? Great to have you, and welcome to Jacksonville. I know you're excited to be here close to your college town.
Exactly, man. It's always good to be home, not only just close to Tallahassee, but close to Valdosta, Georgia, where I'm from. So it's a lot of uproar where I'm from right now. A lot of people happy.
Speaking of Valdosta, I mean, that seems to be kind of Jaguar territory, right? Is that a Jaguar town coming up?
I mean, it's more of a college town. People like Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs or Florida Gators, but we got that Seminole thing rocking a little bit, so it's a lot of noise around there right now.
So you've never and won't for all had to play a home game more than 3 hours from home. That's got to be kind of neat.
I mean, it definitely is, just because, for one, my mom, I like her to, you know, not have to worry about so much traveling, staying on the road and stuff like that. And then just my family, you know, anytime you can get a lot of people to come down and celebrate, you know, you're celebrating. Mm-hmm. Every game is a celebration for me. I'm just happy to be out there. So, you know, that's just incredible, man.
Now, for the Noles fans out there, I know a couple weeks ago you went back for the celebration. Mm-hmm. I guess perhaps against the advice of your agent a little bit, who wanted you to work out for the draft, but you wanted to be at that. How special was that? How important was it?
Man, that's big. You know, anytime you can bring something that big to a program, take the program to another level, just to be a leading part of that, man, it was incredible. So I had to go back, despite what everybody else thought about it. You know, if I hadn't have did that, then I probably wouldn't have been able to, you know, experience the things that I had. So I had to go back and give it to those fans, man, because they supported us the whole season, you know, even though we was undefeated and stuff like that, you know. But at the end of the day, they supported us, and I had to go back and support them in that celebration.
Telvin Smith, 15 tackles in the national championship game against Auburn, the team leading tackler on the season. You know, 6'3", 218 pounds. There's questions about your ability to keep on weight, put on weight and keep it on, and what do you say to that?
I mean, there's always going to be questions. Even when I do it, they're going to say, oh, well, he's gotten slower, or he's gotten this. And it's called adversity. You're going to always face adversity in life. And, you know, ever since we were kids and stuff, people always face adversity. With me, it happened to just be waiting and keeping it on and stuff like that. I say, I make plays. You know, I'm going to continue to make plays and continue to be a great football player. However I can impact my team, that's what I'm here to do.
Now, the other day on the conference call, you said Super Bowl was destiny. Mm. Is that a guarantee, or is that just who you are? Because it seems like that's who you are.
I mean, that's just who I am. I'm always look at, you know, and strive to be the best at whatever level I'm at. You know, when I was in boys club, we won boys club championships. When I got to middle school, it wasn't a championship to win, but, you know, we beat the biggest team that was supposed to be the best. I got to high school, we won state championships. And obviously in college, you know, obviously we won that national championship. So, you know, I say it's my destiny, man. I'm blessed to be on great teams, to continue to be great. And, you know, I can't say anything, you know. Hopefully we're going to continue to do it. But at the end of the day, following Coach Gus, I know we're going to do it.
Right.
Telvin, last question for you. You were the Senior Bowl Mobile with this crew, of course, mm-hmm. and you mentioned Coach Bob on the phone, mm-hmm. on the phone call, Bob Babich, the defensive coordinator. At that time, was coaching linebackers at the Senior Bowl because the Jags didn't have a linebackers coach at the time. Take us through that week, and it was a pretty special week with the Jags staff.
One word, intense. You know, they brought the juice every day, the juice. I always talk about the juice because that's what they talk about. You know, they brought the juice every day, and I loved it. I fell in love with those with the coaches then. Now, not saying that I knew I was going to be here and none of that, but I said, man, it'll be great to play for coaches like that just respect the game and come every day bringing it. So, That's I'm just happy to be here every day. I'm gonna just live up to their standard and you know, try my best to give everything I got for this team.
We love your energy. Well done. Thanks a lot, Telvin.
I appreciate y'all, man. Let's go, Jags.
All right, Telvin Smith joining us.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
On Jaguars.com Live, rookie premiere. Let's keep them rolling on through. We'll stay on defense and go to the University of Oklahoma in Norman. Mr. Aaron Colvin is with us. How are you? First off, welcome, and your first thoughts being in the building this week.
Man, it's great, you know. You know, I got a chance to kind of get to know this staff a little bit, you know, before I came here at the Senior Bowl. So Just being here, being able to be around those guys and seeing this building is great.
Let's start off with the week in Mobile. You know, the first couple of days with that staff there, you said you had a pretty good connection. Then you banged up your knee. First off, how's the knee and how's the recovery?
The knee is great. You know, I was down there at Dr. Andrews right after the injury, and I continued to rehab down there. So those guys, they got me right, and I'm feeling great. And, you know, I came into this organization, and, you know, the training staff back in Oklahoma kind of told me about, you know, what they do here. And, you know, I fit in great, and this place is great. They're treating me great, and I feel like, you know, I'm going to get right here.
When everybody's heard the story by now that Gus Bradley pulled you aside at the combine, and you never know if a story like that's actually going to happen once he tells you, hey, bank on it. But even if it hadn't happened, how important and how good was it for an NFL coach to sort of take you aside at that point and say, hey, you're going to make it?
Man, it was great. It spoke volumes about Coach Gus and about the organization, because obviously they brought him in here to, you know, be the head coach. So, you know, when he told me that, you don't necessarily think too much of it mm-hmm. right then and there, because, you know, you just got so much going on. You don't know, you know, who's lying, who's telling you the truth. Right. You don't know who's sincere. So, you know, I didn't think too much of it. I knew that he seemed to be genuine when I met him at the Senior Bowl and in that short period of time at the combine. But, you know, he really came and got me. So just for him to do that, man, it just speaks volumes about him.
Now, I'm not always brush up on college football, but who'd you guys play in the bowl game?
Alabama.
Did you really? You need to talk to J.P. Shadrick about that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want
to
talk about that.
Well, my bad.
And it was a heck of a run for you guys at the end of the season, and it finished off with a big game in the Sugar Bowl. Take us through the end of the season for OU, and especially that game in New Orleans.
You know, at the end of the season, they were just must-win games for us as an organization, or as Oklahoma, really. You know, when we played Kansas State, that started it off. We had to have that win coming off a loss, you know, Baylor. And it kind of hurt us a little bit as far as running for the national championship and some other things we wanted to do. But we knew we still had a chance. And even though we might not have won the Big 12, we still feel like, you know, we could have finished off very strong. And when we went to Oklahoma State, you always going to get the best out of us. I mean, you never really have to rally us up when we're playing in a big-time rivalry game. So, you know, we finished that game off strong, and then when they finally announced we play Alabama, you know, we were just excited. And there's just so many people just doubting us the whole week, so many people throughout the process just thinking that we was going to get blown out. And we kind of took it, you know, as a little motivation. And when we got a chance to go out there and play, we just left it all out there. And the coaches, you know, they coached the tails off, and everything was just clicking for us, and everything just went perfect.
JP's not doubting you anymore.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I didn't doubt you before, just, you know, at least on the record.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Now,
Aaron Colvin is with us.
Tell me if I had this story right. Father a Titans fan?
Yes, sir.
Was, right?
Yes, sir.
Was. And is there actually a burning ceremony?
I have no
on the
idea,
horizon?
Man. I actually just read that, like, okay. 2 days ago that he said that. I didn't know he even said that, but – I mean, my dad is the type to really burn something, so he really might go in the backyard and burn it. Yeah.
I got you. And now, take me through your mindset a little bit. After you get hurt at the Senior Bowl, that's such a moment where you're there, obviously, because you're trying to prep for the draft, and that's your dream, and that's what your focus is, and all of a sudden that's taken away and made uncertain. How do you sort of move on from that in these last 3 months where you maintain your focus and maintain your belief?
Really, the main thing for me was my faith. You know, some things you just can't control, mm-hmm. and that was one thing I couldn't control. So during the process, you know, when it first happened, it was a pretty tough process for me. I had to get mentally right, you know, just to believe that I still had that chance.
Right.
No matter where it was, you know, once I get that chance in the NFL, I told myself I was going to prove myself. And when I got, you know, that opportunity to play in the NFL, I was going to dominate. So that's what I just kept going through my head, and I just wanted to focus on the day instead mm-hmm. of the final, you know, the final outcome or whatever what might happen. And I focused on each day just trying to get my knee right, trying to do the things that I could to get better. And, you know, eventually it paid off. You know, I came into a great situation here. Still got a chance to get drafted, which was a big-time dream for me. And, you know, just my faith and then patience as well, you know. I couldn't rush it. You know, it gets frustrating at times. I want to be out there doing stuff. I want to be back on the field. And essentially, I want to be out here contributing to right. this team early. But, you know, I can't. And it's just going to take patience and faith. And, I mean, that's what I had to really, you know, get through my head.
So no why me moment?
Oh, no. I mean, it was. I mean, when it first happened, I can't even lie.
Sure.
It was a why me moment. Like, you know, I felt like I had did everything right, you know, done all the things that I thought I was supposed mm-hmm. to do. And it happened to me. And, I mean, you never know. I feel like, you know, my mother always tells me things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody else, you know, goes through that same scenario. But I really felt like that's what it was for.
Aaron Colvin is with us, cornerback from Oklahoma. Okay, when the knee's right and you're ready to go again, what's your greatest strength as a cornerback?
I'm locked down. I mean, I feel like, you know, man to man, that's just me. Press coverage, off coverage, it doesn't really matter. I can play zone as well, but, you know, in Oklahoma, we play so much man-to-man schemes, which they do a lot here. Even in their zone coverages, they still use a lot of man techniques. So, you know, I feel like I fit in perfect in this environment, and then I feel like my ball skills and my competitiveness is up there as well. I mean, when I'm competing, when I'm on that field, I mean, I'm not backing down from anybody. I'm going at everybody's heads. I'm going straight at the throat, and that's just how I am. That's just how I've always played the game.
Like, hey, you're fine if you go for the heads in this league. Watch out.
That's right. Yeah, I got to watch out for that.
No, tone it down. No. And as you played safety as a sophomore, correct? Obviously, you're being brought in as a corner, but how much does that safety experience, you know, help? Where do you find yourself drawn on that?
It definitely helps with my aggressiveness and my tackling. You know, in the NFL, you got to be able to tackle as a cornerback or as a defensive back, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was at safety, I was able to, you know, really go in there and work on my tackling abilities, my open field tackling and things like that. So, I mean, playing safety definitely, it allowed me to see the field a little bit better as well, allowing me to know what other guys are doing and being able to study the game a lot more. So, safety definitely helped while playing corner.
Aaron, we appreciate your time. Welcome to Jacksonville, and good luck to you.
Appreciate you for having me.
Aaron Colvin from the University of Oklahoma Sooners joining us on Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere, J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. A little lull in the action now, still waiting on a
back.
Come on,
cool,
you know what? Come on back, John. Love to have you here. You know, it's interesting to just get in these guys' heads. You know, we were talking about that before some of these guys came on here, and most of them seem like they're pretty grounded into this now.
Well,
there's no real, oh, my goodness, overwhelming moments here.
And you would expect, most of these guys have played big-time college football, yeah. And they always say, you know, if you're going to – it's okay to draft a small school guy, but if you expect him to play right away, it's probably good if he's had big-time college experience. They've had their media experience, and they've done things, you know, like that. But, you know, it's interesting and probably not coincidental that most of these guys, Telvin Smith particularly comes to mind, mm-hmm. Outgoing guy who clearly – can't you see Gus Bradley meeting that guy after about 2 days? Gus just wanted to take him home with him. You know, I mean, sure. So it's not surprising that they would gravitate to that kind of guy who can sort of accept that and fit into that sort of a culture. Now you got to be able to play. You got to be able to do everything else, obviously. But it's probably not surprising that a lot of these guys would have that same look in terms of just being, I guess, good people who can't wait to get going.
We're about to be joined by Chris Smith, defensive end out of Arkansas, fifth-round pick, the 19th pick in that round, 159th overall. He was listed at 6'3 in college, but mysteriously went down to 6'1 after the combine.
That happens at the combine sometime.
Yeah,
but
that works.
I think with him, I think like so many of these guys, we talked about a little earlier, clearly a guy who is drafted with one thing in mind, who is a very good pass rusher, and – you hope that whatever made him a good pass rusher in college can translate to the NFL and get you some sacks. You're probably not drafting him with the idea he's going to get 10 the first year,
right.
But you hope that there's something there that can translate to that next level. And I thought it was interesting when they talked about Chris Smith after they drafted him, Gus Bradley talked about how they had D Ford at the Senior Bowl, and yet every time he started thinking about it and looking at it, it was always like, who's this guy on the other side who's just working all the time,
right.
Who's just grinding on it and is getting it done? And they kind of said when they went back and looked at him, oh, I can see how he got 8.5 sacks, mm-hmm. or whatever his number was as a senior. He worked for it. And I think when they see that up close, it may be one of the biggest benefits of the Senior Bowl. You know, you see a guy like that, it forces you to take a second look, and then you find that trait in the guy that you talk about in the later rounds. Okay, we found that. That's what we like. We believe we can develop that. Because anybody after the fourth round is sort of a risk on where they're going to start, where they're going to be a huge contributor. But if you find something you like and you believe in and you think that can help us to a certain degree, then you've got a winner on day three.
And of course, at Arkansas, they had, what, three coaches in his time there,
mm-hmm.
Petrino Smith and Bielema,
right.
Who's
yeah.
there now, sorry. But some different changes for him. He was all over the place, standing up at linebacker mm-hmm. sometimes, other times on end, lined up in the middle on the defensive line last year.
Well,
too.
And sometimes with a scheme, you can find a scheme fit. And so he switches around a lot. He's done a lot of different things. What does that remind you of in this scheme, Leo? You know, because you're sort of the hybrid. You can do both things. And again, you know, we can talk to him about this a little more. We probably talked to him. What more does he have to say, right? But, you know, again, if you can find that one thing in a guy on day three that you believe in, he doesn't have to play all over the field. They're not wanting him to be all over the field. They want and they're not expecting him. If he'd been in the first round, you play a lot of different positions. They want him to do one thing and see if he can contribute in that role.
JP Shadrick with John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere from Everbank Field. We're in the lobby of the West Touchdown Club, a little quieter scene today than yesterday for the state of the franchise. We've heard from a handful of the draft picks. We're about to hear from Chris Smith. We'll hear from Storm Johnson coming up. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson as well, and Blake Bortles also on the schedule. Marquise Lee will not join us today. He's still traveling to Jacksonville.
And Telvin Smith, another guy we talked to. Yeah. Yeah, first of all, boy, what a personality, right?
Yeah,
and
you
kind of hear that. And he sort of – he talked in the conference call again today at Super Bowl Destiny. But what they really like about him is just the raw speed at linebacker. And when Gus was talking about the draft class, I believe it was Saturday night, he said, you know, at some point in this league right now, you need a linebacker who can cover. And you need a linebacker who can cover a speed guy. So his side-to-side ability, his ability to cover one side of the field or the other, yep. That's clearly, again, much like Chris Smith, you look for a guy to play a certain role. When they looked at him, they could foresee something when we walked in the door. Here's what we want you to be able to do. Everything else on top of that, fine. But here's what your role is going to be to start out with. So, again, finding that one thing in a guy that you like.
Jaguars.com Live, rookie premiere. Glad you're with us today. We will mix in some social media questions coming up. Chris Smith, I think, just went behind us. He'll be joining us here on set in just a moment. So, John, you can move away. It'd be great. Thank you, sir. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier with us. Rookie camp, remember, Friday, Saturday, 1:10 p.m. start both days. You have to register online, jaguars.com/register, to get admission to that. It's free. But you can come in and watch the rookies practice on the field in person Friday and Saturday. Let's welcome in the newest member of the Jaguars defensive line, defensive end Chris Smith out of the University of Arkansas. Welcome to Jacksonville. It's great to have you. Have a seat. Welcome.
Chris, John Osier, good to see you.
Fifth round pick, 19th pick in that round, 159th overall. First off, let's go to social media right away, right out of the gate. @J_Durkin, how does it feel to now be a Jaguar, and what are you looking forward to most as this season comes up?
Just really looking to just make the 53 man roster. You know, just going out there working hard each and every day, and it's all about getting better. I mean, I figure out in college I would know a little bit of stuff, but you know, everything's different. But I think one thing that I got a jump start on is the Senior Bowl, learning the scheme, so I know the base part of the scheme, and I just build off of that.
Let's take us through that week then. Of course, you worked with Gus Bradley and Todd Wash on the defensive line there in Mobile, and there were a number of other defensive ends there working out as Leos and such. What did you learn that week that you didn't know before?
Working on technique, because it was a lot of competition out there. So, you know, it's a lot of competition. It's all about technique, going back to the fundamentals of the game. And that's basically what Coach Wash wanted us to do. And especially in the Leo spot, that's one that I'm going to be playing here. And it's one guy that's very aggressive, especially on pass. And basically he has just the freedom to go. Just go be on the back weak side and just go pass rush. So that's one thing, you know, I'm glad that they stay loyal to me and pick me up and really, you know, just looked at my Senior Bowl film and all my previous film, and I'm just trusting in me to play that Leo spot.
How much were you struck by their approach? Because Gus really does have a unique approach in the energy and just the way he even coached that game. Did you walk out with the idea that every NFL team was like that, or did you kind of know that was something a little different?
Yeah, I knew it was very different. I know every NFL team is not like that, but he's very energetic, comes in every day, you know, just always talking about getting better and how you can get better as a team. He always talked about, you know, playing for the name on the front of your jersey instead of the back. So he's all about the team, man, and all about loyalty, man, and just his energetic, you know, he gives a story. I think every day in the Senior Bowl he gave a story or whatever before practice and everything to get everybody fired up. So he's a guy with a lot of wisdom and things of that nature, and that's what kind of coach you need.
How many times in your life have you been told, if you only had a couple more inches of height? I mean, that's something I saw. Yeah. You've been pretty open about that, and you laugh about it. But I guess, has that been something that's always sort of followed you?
Yeah, I mean, everybody says if I had 2 or 3 more inches, you know, I'd be a first rounder and things of that nature. But, you know, I just play with the cards I'm dealt. You know, as long as I get my foot in the door, you know, I'm blessed to be drafted by the Jaguars. And, you know, from my city, I'm the first person ever to, you know, to be drafted. But that's one thing about it. I just come in with a chip on my shoulder and just play hard each and every day, you know. And not to try to prove people wrong, but I'm just going to, you know, just be a competitor, the inside competitor of myself, you know, just try to go in there and just work hard and be the best I can be.
Now, did you spend draft night at your city?
Yes, I did.
Any reaction to that? Anybody?
Yeah, it was very reaction-like. I mean, as soon as the Jaguars called my name went across TV. I mean, my phone, like, blew up. I think I had, like, 300 text messages, and it was just crazy. So that's one thing about it, you know. I got my foot in the door, but they always say, you know, it's easy to get in, but the hardest part is to stay in. So that's one thing, you know, I just want to work on that hard part and just stay in the NFL.
From Mount Ulla, North Carolina, right?
Salisbury, North Carolina.
Salisbury, yes. Right near Charlotte area is kind of where you're from. You went to Arkansas, though, and in that time at Fayetteville, 3 head coaches, 3 different schemes, 3 different ideas on things. How did each of those coaches kind of help you develop as a player?
Well, you know, when you go through 3 different coaches, everybody, you know, looks at the bad part. I took the good part away from it, you know, especially just being versatile, learning different schemes from outside linebacker and the 4-3 scheme from playing defensive end. So, you know, all those coaches just gave me great, very great tips, you know, especially Coach Petrino. His offense and his defense was kind of like an NFL-style approach. Practice was like an NFL-style approach. So he really got us strong mentally and things of that nature. So, and even Coach Bielema now, Desir now, really got us strong in the weight room and things of that nature. So that's one thing, you know, I learned great things at Arkansas. You know, I wouldn't replace it for nothing.
We appreciate your time today, and good luck to you. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Yes, sir.
Chris Smith joining us on Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere. You can step out now. We're going to continue the show. Chris, good to see you. Thank you.
He's ran him, too.
5th-round pick. I'm running everybody today. Everybody getting out of here today. Next guest is waiting on us, Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere here at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. And we're getting ready for – oh, goodness, it's a familiar face.
That guy.
It's the number 3 overall pick, Blake Bortles. Blake, I think, John, we visited with him before in an automobile. Welcome. Now you're in the building for a few days. What's your reaction now? You're here and it's real.
Yeah, it's been awesome, you know, being able to come in and such a welcoming environment. You know, the things that Coach Bradley has done, and, you know, just the kind of the message that everybody has. It's been awesome to be able to walk into that locker room and talk to some guys and try and get acclimated with everything and start picking things up and, you know, start playing football.
Have you seen the billboards in Orlando with Yana?
I have.
Or did you make it out of town too quick?
Yeah, I was gone before those went up, I guess. But
it's got to be a pretty wild thing. I mean, I know you've been the starter at UCF, so you get that sort of thing. But then all of a sudden to see that sort of shift and be NFL promoting your hometown, it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I mean, I think it's great exposure for UCF, and it's, you know, I think it's great exposure for the Jags in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's kind of a win-win, and but I haven't seen them yet.
I got you.
Let's go social media off Facebook. A question from Mike Villarreal. Blake, do you feel some pressure being the face/future of the franchise? Do you look at it that way, or is that a real thought for you?
Right. You know, I think we talk about, you know, putting pressure on yourself is, you know, things you can control. So that's really all I'm focused on right now is what I can control. You know, how hard I can work, how much I can study, you know, how hard I can practice, the things that I can't control. So day in and day out, those are the things I'm working on and working to get better at each day.
Are you looking forward to sort of having – I get that the draft is a once-in-a-lifetime event, and it's something you dream about and you watch – but it seems like you're the kind of guy who might be looking forward to that sort of being behind you and just sort of getting in here every day and getting back to doing what you did.
Yeah, definitely. That's not me, you know, going to New York and doing all that stuff. You know, I enjoy being in a locker room, being in a facility, hanging around with a great group of guys, watching football, talking football, and, you know, I think building camaraderie and, you know, stuff that you do in the locker room. So those are the things that I enjoy doing. So I'm definitely glad that whole process is over.
Now, a major storyline after the draft was, obviously, this was a place you felt comfortable and you liked this regime. But honestly, how many teams could you have said that about? Were there other teams that you sort of liked, or was this that special?
No, this was by far the best. I mean, I remember going home after all my visits, and my mom asked, you know, which one did you feel the best about? And it was Jacksonville. So, like, everything about it just seemed right.
Blake Bortles is with us, number 3 overall pick. This is Jaguars.com Live Rookie Premier. You know, going into your pro day and in the off-season work going up to the draft, you were working on some different things mechanically. What's left for you now? What else are you going to have to adjust to coming up the next year?
I think continuing to work on those things, the footwork stuff, continuing to polish that because, I mean, it's not muscle memory yet. I've only been doing it for 2 months. So I think continuing to fix that as well as everything else. You know, you got to polish and tweak everything, you know, to get better. And those are the things that I'll continue to work on.
And former Jaguar Jordan Palmer, I believe, big part of your draft preparation. What did that mean? What did you learn from him, and how did that just sort of help you, I guess?
Yeah, working with him was awesome. You know, he was a guy that, you know, he's kind of a journeyman. He's been around. He's, you know, and he's kind of learned how to be a really good professional. You know, he's made it wherever he's been, and he's been really good. So he had a lot of insight on, you know, how to become successful. Obviously, watching his brother go through being the number one pick and everything that Carson's done. So he's kind of seen both sides of it. So learning from him and hearing what he had to say and, you know, how you go about different situations and scenarios was very helpful.
Did he ever show you his app?
No.
The movie app?
We talked about it, but he didn't pull it up.
He didn't play and brag on it?
Nah, he didn't pull
busy.
It up. Yeah.
Blake Bortles is with us, Jaguars.com Live, the rookie premiere. Take us through your first meetings now with Jed Fish in the building here, the offensive coordinator for the Jags, of course. Getting into his mind, getting into that playbook. What's it been like the last couple of days with Jed here?
They've been great. You know, it's new. You know, you're starting clean. Obviously, you have some, you know, some ideas and some football in your head, but it's different lingo. It's different words. So I think learning those different words and learning, you know, the concepts and everything like that has been good. And, you know, him and Frank have been all awesome teachers. So it's been a blast so far.
I'm curious. Take me through your mindset. I get when you were driving here with your family on Friday. But the first day where you're sort of driving up here and you're actually going to work, number 3 pick, and your career is kind of getting started. What were your emotions? What were your thoughts as you sort of approached Everbank for that first day of, you know, the rest of your life, so to speak?
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, a mixture of emotions of, you know, this is the new chapter. This is, you know, now my home and where I'm going to be working, and a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't wait to get started. I can't wait to start competing. And, you know, it was finally all this, the past, you know, 4 months, you know, it's over, it's in the past, and thank God now we can go play football.
If you had known before that 4 months what it really entailed, it's hard to describe to people, isn't it, what that four months is.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, going through it, not going through it and just kind of seeing it from, you know, bystander's point of view, it's, you don't realize what all goes into it. You know, you see the combine, and then you see pro days, and then you see the draft. So it's definitely, there's a lot more that goes into it than that.
Striking how little football there is involved with that, right?
Oh, exactly. there's not a lot of football, a lot of talking, a lot of training for, you know, the combine, you know, certain drills that have nothing to do with playing football. So it was different. It was a learning experience, and I enjoyed it.
Blake Bortles joining us on Jaguars.com Live Rookie Premier. Thanks for your time. Always good to visit with you. We got to get Jimmy Luck to get you a new hat, though. That's the old logo.
Tad said he's got to get me a new hat. So
we'll work on that. Blake, thanks.
Rookie mistake. It's all right.
Blake Bortles joining us. The Jags' number 3 overall pick. This is Jaguars.com Live, the Rookie Premier. Let's go to the wide receivers now. And from State College, Penn State Nittany Lions, Allen Robinson is here. The 29th pick of the second round, 61st overall. First off, the Jags traded up a couple of picks to grab you. Your initial thoughts when that happened? Pretty big move.
Yeah, that's a great feeling, you know, just for a team just to trade up. That means that they definitely have a lot invested in you and that they want you in their program, you know. I mean, not just that you're the best available at that time. So I think that meant a lot to me.
Well, take us through draft night. Now, it's the second round. Of course, first round had gone by, and not many receivers had gone off the board. Marquise Lee goes away for the Jags. Was there any expectation of where you might get picked up, or was this a little bit of a surprise?
I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise, you know. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. Initially, I thought I would go a little higher, you know. But I mean, that's how the draft works sometimes, you know. But I mean, I'm blessed and fortunate and happy to be a Jaguar. So that's all that really matters right now.
Now, you trained with Sammy Watkins and Bruce, right?
Yes. Okay.
What were those training sessions like, and a lot of talent coming out of that training facility?
Yeah, it was extremely competitive, you know, with just us running our 40s, us doing receiver drills, you know, just all the time competing not to drop the ball, to run the best route. So I would say it was a lot of competitiveness, you know, just for us to be great. And I think that's what we pushed each other to be.
Now, you worked a lot during the pre-draft process on your speed. That was a focus. Is that work stuff that can carry on to the field? Is that speed?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess going to stay with you.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think so. You know, I feel real good this far, you know, as far as going out there running routes and stuff, you know. I feel pretty fluent, you know, and I have felt like my speed has increased, you know. So I thought I played in college, you know, with a pretty good game speed, you know. So, I mean, I'm just trying to improve that right now. I'm just trying to improve everything that I want to coming into this offseason.
But you pride yourself on the physicality, I assume. I mean, that's kind of the book on you, is that you're going to use that speed and that big – I mean, size and the big body. Conscious of that when you're on the field?
No, not really. You know, I'll say that I'm more so conscious all the time, but like mostly about my route running. You know, I think that's what kind of is going to help me take it over the top and kind of help me separate with routes, you know. Not all the time, you know, you want to just try to make a catch based off your athleticism, you know, just try to gain leverage, you know, try to separate from the defender.
Let's go to social media now. This is a social media show. So you're a Twitter guy, right?
Yeah.
What's your handle?
It's Django 8D with two J's, A-N-G-O 8.
Okay. Well, follow him on Twitter. Let's go to Facebook, though. This is from David Johnson. Alan, what did it feel like to have the Jags trade up? We already talked about that. But also, how does it feel knowing you're going up against your old coach twice a year? He's hoping for the best for each of the new Jaguars, but you're, of course, going to face him in Houston a couple of times. What did he mean for you the last year or so?
Honestly, he meant a lot to me, you know, in college, just kind of challenging me, you know, as a player to always continue to improve, you know, and improve on different facets of the game, you know, that you may not think that you need to improve on. So I would just say, and being extremely detailed in my work, you know, as far as running routes, you know, hand placement on making catches and different things like that.
It was obviously important. He was very important for that university, too, after what happened there, for him to come in and kind of settle things down there and stay college, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, I think he put the program in a good place. You know, I think that we had some pretty good years seeing what we were going up against as a team. You know, I think we beat Wisconsin our last game of my junior year with 42 scholarship players, you know. So just to go to Wisconsin and get a win was big for us, you know. So I think just different moments like that, you know, I think he meant a lot to the whole university.
And you left school early, but I read that your mom still wants to go back and get that degree. And that's,
definitely.
That's something you're still planning to do. You said.
Definitely. You know, I mean, I'm not sure. I won't have much time this offseason, you know, but as next offseason approaches, you know, I'm going to definitely try to put something in place to start getting towards that.
And you're not far away, right?
No, I'm not. Yeah, okay. I'm about 20 credits away from graduating. If I had a state, I believe I was supposed to graduate in June of this year.
Now, one of the many pre-draft stuff you read, I read a quote that you compare yourself to Reggie Wayne a lot. And that you kind of pattern yourself after the game. Some similarities in the way you play, you think?
Definitely.
Or you hope?
I would say now, you know, and just kind of improve. You know, I mean, he's at a tremendous level of play. You know, as far as he's had for his entire career. So, but I think he's a very good route runner. I think that's something that goes unnoticed. You know, in a lot of good receivers in the NFL. You know, and he has big play capability. But at the same time, like when you think of Reggie Wayne, you know, he has a lot of catches year in, year out. You know, he's pretty pretty diligent in his work.
And you like the way he makes every route look the same. That's
definitely,
sort of your goal.
Definitely. You know, just try to make everything look the same, you know, so keep the defensive back guessing.
Last couple questions for Allen Robinson out of Penn State, Jaguars wide receiver. First couple of days in the building now. Take us through a meeting room with Jerry Sullivan, wide receivers coach, and with Cecil Shorts that they're running around. What's been your interaction so far, and especially about Jerry?
You know, he's an extremely detailed guy as far as the routes is concerned, you know, and just pushing us to stay in our playbook. You know, I know they're throwing a lot at us right now, you know, but that's the fun part of it. Just kind of just trying to take it all in, you know, as much as you can and learn as much as possible at a pretty quick rate, you know, and that's something that I'm trying to do right now, you know, and I've enjoyed it thus far. So just trying to keep my head in the playbook, you know, and learning a lot from Cecil, you know, on the field and in the playbook is wise, you know. So it's really good for me being around those two guys.
Perfect. Alan, we appreciate your time. Good luck to you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Alan, thanks for the time.
Alan Robinson, out of Penn State, Jaguars wide receiver. As we heard earlier, Marquise Lee will not be here today. He's still traveling in. Storm Johnson unavailable today as well, the running back from Central Florida.
He obviously doesn't know who we are.
I mean, come on. Didn't they get the memo from Dave? I mean, they should have.
There's a lot of time, a lot of rookie mistakes. But that's
Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live. The rookie premiere is pretty much in the books here. And just some final thoughts about overall this class. All guys that you see now, why Gus likes a lot of these guys in the room, focused, detailed, and ready to be competitive and play ball.
Well, again, I think the big thing to remember of fans watching this, there's a lot going on for these guys right now. They took the time to join us, which is great. And they'll spend the week really trying to probably get some answers to some of the questions we were asking. What's Jerry Sullivan like? Allen Robinson just met the guy, and he's probably like, what in the heck is this? You know, but over time, they're going to get used to their surroundings, and you can certainly see from most of these guys or sense that they've got the desire, they've got the right mindset going forward. At this point in their development, that's what you ask for.
John, I think you hit it on the head. It's a very busy schedule for these guys, and we start off by thanking Dave Caldwell, sure, general manager for the Jags, for the time for these guys today. Head coach Gus Bradley, too. PR department, Ryan Robinson, Tad Dickman, for bringing those guys along today, and for everybody on the production as well that put this thing together. Back in the room, Chris Burdett, John Cascio, Brandon Natus, Patrick Cavanaugh is hiding behind the camera. And
we took a little time, too, JP. Well, we got some stuff to do.
I was about to say us next, John.
Okay, all right.
Great job today. We'll look for your writing a little later. For John Osier and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for today, the Jaguars.com Live Rookie Premiere.